Hello. This is Cat 5 Coffee Break, rather community coffee break. And my name is BP9. Hello. And up on my, well, that side, we've got Lance Mann over there. And over this way, we have Peter. Give us a wave, Pete. Thank you. So good to see you all. Just a quick bit of administrativia. This will be the last coffee break for 2020, since the Cat 5 studios are going to be shut down over the Christmas break. So the two weekends around Christmas, that would be next weekend, which I believe is the something like the 20th, and then the weekend following, which is the 26th or something, or 27th, something like that. Just checking the calendar real quick just to make sure. So, yeah, Sunday the 20th is no coffee break, and Sunday the 27th is no coffee break. And that's because Robbie has the studio shut down for those two weekends around Christmas time. So just bear that in mind. So, Peter, no need to ask if there's a coffee break.
What about the 3rd of January?
I do expect to restart the coffee breaks on the 3rd of January, yes. So that would be, so, you know, we'll all be a little bit woo from New Year. But if we're sober and somewhat upright, then we'll do coffee break on the 3rd. I plan to be there on the 3rd. We'll see who else shows up, right? Okay, with that out of the way, I have not made any progress on this, Peter. I'm still.
Did you see the comment I made about if you?
I did.
Yeah,
I did, and I understand your comments about the opto isolator, and I absolutely agree. That would be critical because the last thing you want is any kind of voltage leaking through from the main side back into the
Arduino. It could as well.
Yeah, and I don't want that. So I absolutely agree with you. The interesting thing is this thing doesn't have any opto isolators. It has the relays, right?
It had to go up a couple of little wee ones, but further up, go back on to it because I've got anything in the way. Hold on. No, that's okay.
You're not going to be able to see it very well anyway, but these are all here. These are all relays. They're not opto isolators. I don't know if the relays are locked. If the relays are locked either.
That helps a couple of down by, there is one down by the grey relay. Look on the other side of the grey relay. There's one.
You're talking about this little IC right here?
Yeah, what number on it? But it's got four legs.
I haven't been able to identify what that chip is.
That's about helps a couple of those.
You think so?
It helps a couple, I think you're fine.
I can't see it because I'm old now. I hate getting old.
I think you'll find that might be a photo of the coupler.
That'd be good.
Looks like one anyway.
That would make sense. Do you think that would be between the relay and the rest of the relays and the rest of the circuitry then?
I think you're done to orbit.
But there's only two legs. How does it drive three relays? No, four
legs. It might be coming from the input from somewhere else. So it's isolating that ball from the world. Did it have a 12-volt power supply with it as well? How did it drive the electronics by?
It's mains voltage coming into this thing. Some of these pins have mains voltage on them.
Yeah, I know that, but to drive the electronics, you don't drive the electronics at main voltage.
Absolutely not. No, you're absolutely right. So there has to be like a voltage regulator, and I actually thought that four-leg device was actually a voltage regulator.
Could be, yeah, because they're all one die that as well, yeah.
So I'll keep looking. I'm going to try and reconstruct the circuit. I have no idea. How to do that from the circuit board.
Oh, yeah, by the way, could I take W?
Mm. Yeah.
Can you see that? They are
like magnets. Yeah, okay.
They're natural magnets. They come from Africa. They come from a riverbank, a part of Africa that Portugal ran at one time, and it's a natural magnet, and they are very strong.
And what are you using them for?
I bought them because I thought they were interesting, and I like the shapes of them because the shapes are hexagonal.
I thought they're
rather nice.
I thought you were using them for a project and you're going to shoot into an explanation of what the project was, but you bought them because they were interesting. Well, that's a good enough reason to buy them.
And it's like the giant squirrels where the top one is anyway, because you know the giant squirrels where the rocks are that shape, hexagonal shape. So, But there's a colony of Portugal, which I can't remember which one it was, but I think it's down near Mozambique direction. I've got a feeling.
I'm trying to remember whether you've showed those to us before, because I have a curious feeling that I've seen those before somehow. I don't know why.
Am I done?
You might have showed them off.
I lost them for a very long time, and they came up in a box recently anyway.
That happens to me all the time. All I have to do is go buy more, and I'll find the original ones every single time after that.
I got a wife that hide things as well, because she's blind. She puts everything away, and you can never find it.
Yeah, or my cat. She'll find stuff. If I lose something, I guarantee you that cat will find it. She'll figure out where that stuff is every single time.
Yep.
Been there, done that. Just yesterday, I lifted the sofa because the cat was digging for something under there. And what she likes to do, I don't know. Well, Doug, you'd know what these are, the Ritz crackers, you know, the packages that the Ritz crackers come in.
Yeah.
Well, I tie a knot in the middle of them and pull them into like a bow shape. And then I just toss it on the floor for her to play with. And she just bats them around, plays with them. Well, she kicks them up underneath the sofa every single time. I looked under there yesterday. There were half a dozen of them under there. And she was digging. She was trying to grab them. She was trying to get to them.
Cats are a trip, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, crazy cat. You would think that she would, you know, I knocked it under there, or she would know not to knock it under there, but oh, no.
They've got a good sense of smell and a good sense of vision as well.
More that's weaver, true. You're right. Yeah, absolutely.
Well.
So I've been working some more on, or studying some more on the client server that uses encrypted SS, not SSL, TLS, using GNU TLS. We made fun of the GNU name a couple of weeks ago. And as far as I can tell, the program that I'm using as a model, as a reference implementation, as far as I can tell, it does not use public-private key. It seems to use a shared key, and I'm not happy with that. I don't want a shared key. I want to use the public-private key. So I'm going to first get my reference model working first, get it just working with whatever keys it thinks it needs to make it work, make sure that I understand how that works, and then I'm going to change it to make it use a real public-private key so that you have to have the public key on the server and you have to have the private key on the client, or otherwise it won't connect. Even though the channel is encrypted, that's fine. I'm okay. That's what I want. But I also want to unequivocally identify the person who's running the client, and I do not want to rely on username and password, which is what I believe the reference program is using. So I want to use a proper public-private key because that's how...
You're going to use PGP?
Yeah, that's how you generate the keys. Absolutely.
I assume there might be more than one version out there, so...
GNU TLS includes all the functionality to generate the public-private key, just like PGP does. So I don't have to generate PGP keys, but I do need to generate public-private keys using the GNU TLS command line arguments, which is the same functionality as PGP. Okay. I've used PGP and I use Thunderbird, but I haven't found anybody who wants to exchange encrypted email. If you send them encrypted email, they'll say, What is this?
Thunderbird's a go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
I remember that old TV show. I remember it well. It's funny, it was a British TV show, but they all had American accents. What's up with that? I don't understand that.
What show was that?
Thunderbirds. The old TV, the old TV show from the 60s or 70s, as I recall.
60s.
Yeah, and it was marionettes. It was all puppets, believe it or not. But pretty realistic. Well, yeah, as realistic as marionettes can be. So it's an old TV show. They've done a animated series since then, and they've done a movie since then. So the concept is great. I always worry when the people who get in trouble, you know, they tear up a plane or a plane crashes or something, and their solution is...
Oh, dear. He's gone.
Uh-oh. Oh, I'm back. Oh, that's a relief.
Hold up there for a second.
I know. I was worried about that. I thought, uh-oh, I've lost my internet, but no, it looks okay. So, yeah, what I was saying was that the people who get in trouble with the Thunderbirds always seem to think that the solution when the plane goes down or something like that is to send another one and see what happens.
one of my friends, a professor friend of mine, wanted to get a client, which was an email client, which was safe, because he got fed up with the Windows version. So I sent him the version, and I put the bit of music on the end of it. Every time when he installed it, he was getting the Thunderbird music.
Nice.
he did laugh at it because he thought it was quite funny.
And so every time he got an email, he'd hear the Thunderbirds theme song?
Yeah.
Nice! I gotta do that. But see, I won't do the whole webmail thing. There are lots of folks who are happy to do the Google Mail and the Microsoft Mail and all the mail stuff. I won't do that. Maybe I'm just old fashioned, but I don't want all my email to be stuck on someone else's computer, you know. And so, I mean, Solbu pointed this out himself. Remember, way back when, a few weeks ago, he hasn't showed up, even though he did respond in. He did respond in Discord, so I thought he'd be here, but oh well. In any case, a friend of his got locked out of Google because of something he said or whatever it was. And why do that? Why lose access to everything you have? Why leave it on someone else's computer? That doesn't make any sense to me. So I do my best to make sure that all my assets are all on my machine.
It's called political correctness, which is a lot of rubbish. But then, anyway,
careful now, Peter. We've talked about this. But I get what you mean, though. I think it's more convenience more than anything else. I mean, back in Australia, my sister does the same thing. She says, "Yeah, but we just leave all our email up on Google or whoever the internet provider is because it's so easy because we can get to it from every device that we have." I said, "Yeah, but if they choose to throw a switch, you lose access to all of it, everything. And in the case of Gmail, it's not just your email; it's your photos, your documents, and everything else that you've got in Gmail. Do you really want that?"
I use Gmail just for chatting to friends rather than anything which is important, you know.
So if you lose it, you don't care?
No, I don't care, no.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a knowledge box of yours that you don't like very much, hosts an email client as well, that you can use as a web-based email client, just like you do Gmail, if you wanted to try that.
Yeah, well, I'll think about that.
I have not tried that yet. I'm still wondering whether that's a...
I'm still climbing up poles and things all the time, but I'll see by the end of, by next year, I should get it sorted out. And then get the idiot one come and sabotage me again. I wasn't bloody happy about that one, you know. Anyway. I didn't know that about Synology Box, but I will look at it next time anyway.
Well, you got you got a Synology Box, didn't you? You didn't like it.
I didn't like it. I just felt that you couldn't do anything with it because it was all sort of a bit like Apple was all sort of. Yes.
It's true that you are locked in their you know in their
little world.
Yes, I want to say ecology or something like that, but you know, you're stuck with them. There's no doubt about that. And if you like that, then okay. I don't mind it because I'm prepared to put up with the functionality that that Moments gives me, where it categorizes photos for me automatically without me having to do anything manually. Yeah, it does it all locally, but I'm prepared to put up with that without using all the rest of it. In terms of using all the rest of it, I just leave it alone. I might use shared drives, but that's about all I will do.
What about if I took the actual board off and I got talking about finding things, I also found a Pi, a Raspberry Pi. I wonder if I could use a Raspberry Pi as a server in it instead, you know.
Yeah, you absolutely. Well, not in that, well, unless you took the thing apart and replaced the box, the insides of it. But
driving the disk drive to be the problem, I think.
I would talk to Robbie about that because he's actually done something just like that.
I'll talk to him about it, but when I get he seems to be busy at the moment, so,
Well, yeah, absolutely. He's been crazy busy building shows for Category 5, so...
I realise that.
He wanted to make sure that we all understood he wasn't just taking a break over the last 2 weeks. He's actually been very busy, so... We should not give him a hard time for that.
I think I made a comment about putting those two grindstones and doing too much work. Don't overdo it, in other words.
Well, exactly. So, Doug, what have you been up to, sir? Have you been doing anything exciting with that Raspberry Pi?
Well, I'm waiting for the fan to come in.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I'm getting a case with a fan built in, and it's going to have a heat sink. And
so, do you have the heat sinks for it yet, or no?
No, they're coming with the. It's all in a kit.
Okay. Okay. So is the fan going to be attached to the heat sink or is it just going to be part of the case in it and it blows cool air?
Part of the case. That's the way it looks anyway. The heat sinks are separate.
Uh-oh. You're being visited by a cat again.
Yeah. I'm going to have to install the heat sinks, you know, thermal paste and all that.
Sure. Yeah.
And then the fan is above the heat sink. It's part of the case.
Okay. Nice. What are you pointing at, Peter?
My wife has just come in. Hasn't she?
Tell your wife Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yes, from both of us.
Yeah, she does a Happy Christmas to him.
Happy Christmas, everybody.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. I don't know if she can hear me because you've got your headset in, haven't you? Yeah. But tell her Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
that. I'll do it in a minute. I've got to disappear because I've got to do something go on.
All right. No worries. We're about done anyway. Did you plan to do any kind of programming, Doug, or you don't think you're going to do that?
I've never been able to grasp programming.
Yeah, we sort of talked about that. We sort of even basic or anything like that.
Yeah, I've tried basic, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
Oh, really? Okay. So you still think you're going to run Plex or something on there? Is that the plan?
I'm not sure about that. In the United States, it's illegal to copy anything that's got digital rights management. So if I was to put anything on a hard drive that I would run through Raspberry Pi, it would be illegal to do that.
Huh. Okay.
They'd have to rip it.
Right.
Which is a form of copying, and you have to crack the copyright to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
So I'd be breaking the law.
Okay. Well, you could move to Canada.
I don't think I'm going to do that.
It's always an option. Too cold in Canada? Well, it's about the same latitude as you're in, Peter, isn't it?
Yeah, but they got colder weather because it's a big landmass. It's a lot colder than they could, like Europe. It's a lot colder because they got a big landmass. We're only an island to see around there, so we get slightly warmed by the Gulf Stream.
So is it true that it's still crazy, that it's crazy windy over there in Ireland and in England?
Yeah,
do you get a lot of wind over there?
Oh, yeah, we get a lot of wind.
And, all year round?
No, just during the, between October and about January time, February time.
Huh. Okay, yeah, okay.
60 mile an hour.
Sounds like our Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
When the weather gets bad, it gets really quite nasty and horrible out there. You know, really quite nasty and horrible out there. I don't want to go out there. But I think so we'll get colder weather than we do because they're in a landmass, you know, because they're in Finland, yeah. They're further north than me, I think, slightly. I don't quite know where he is, but I got a feeling he's further north than me when I was asking where he was.
Mm.
Was he near Lapland? I think he's further north than me.
That's Solbu, yeah.
Yeah, I think he would be, yeah.
And I pinged Solbu on Discord and told him we were ready to go, and he responded, but I think he's fallen asleep again. And I can't do anything. I don't know. Can't take him anywhere. Well, we're up to almost 25 minutes, so we're not going to stay on for very much longer. Robbie requested that we keep these around 25 minutes, so I just threw him under the bus. I hope he doesn't mind. I'm such a bad person. I'm really, really such a bad person. I really don't have very much else to add. I have not done anything with the Pine Time. It's still bricked. I haven't messed with it at all. It's still just
my opinion,
still broken.
Leave it and dump it. One day you have a brainwave and
exactly. That's exactly what I've done. And if I leave it long enough, somebody else will come up with a good program to load into it, which is exactly what's happened. So I'll probably just load their program into it. And if Robbie ever decides to fire up his own Pine Time, he says he got it, but hasn't done anything with it. Well, if he chooses to move forward with it, he can just load that distro.
But it's a learning curve, you know. You learn every time you do.
It is, and I would love to get in there and figure out how to program the thing. But the hardest part with this is the physical connection that you've got to make to these, right? There are four tiny, tiny little pins in there that you have to get just right and have it there for a good 20, 30, 40, 50 seconds, whatever it is, in order to make sure that every single byte that you send down the serial port makes it into that unit. And if you don't have it set up exactly right, it won't program correctly and it won't start. So it took me ages just to unlock it. The first thing you have to do is unlock it.
They've probably done protocol as well, you know, that to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's absolutely a protocol involved, but there's a physical connection of four pins that you have to set pins on, that you have to set connectors on.
Yeah.
And they have to have good connection for the whole programming process, or otherwise it just won't work. So.
Yeah. I got one of these electronic microscopes for kids, you know, plug in USB and put the thing underneath. You can see the thing big and told you that way, you know, that's another way of doing it, you know, if you're looking at small wee stuff, because my eyes are not good anymore, so, you know. Up to 200 times, 100 times.
Boy, I can relate to that. I could so relate, Peter.
I don't know what Jeffrey's about. I think it's a devil stuff you have to play with. I keep well away from it. You know?
Surface Mount's
horrible stuff.
Yeah, I don't like Surface Mount either. I'd rather work with this kind of stuff. And I'm already, you know, hardware challenged when it comes to dealing with this stuff as well. So, you know, this is not.
I did tell you. I was doing the same thing. As you know, I've got three antennas on my mask, and I've got three coaxes on my mask coming down. So I've got one of these switches, these four-way switchy things. Mm-hmm. And I was going to put four relays in a box, and then I would use the Raspberry Pi or some sort of way I could switch, you know, each one on, whatever. But the problem I got is waterproofing because it's so wet around here.
I was going to say that, and it sounds like a pretty complicated project in terms of, you know, having to do a lot to make it switch these relays. I might also suggest, for such a simple task, I might also suggest an Arduino instead of a Raspberry Pi. Because if the power ever goes out on the Raspberry Pi, you might lose that SD card, and then you're done at that point.
Okay.
But an Arduino will just keep on trucking. Even if the power goes out, it will just crank right back up again.
Roughly the same price, are they?
In fact, they're probably cheaper. I think I think you can get an Arduino these days for like $20 or $30. I have not checked the price lately, so don't quote me. But the equivalent to a Raspberry Pi, which is a much more powerful machine, of course, is more like $80 to get. So
I only want to turn on the input output on, you know.
All the input outputs are there.
I bought a mechanical switch in the end, and I decided to do it easy, just have a mechanical four-way, and it's got a knob on it, and on it, it's got like a line down the knob with dry
command. You just got to watch out for lightning strikes.
Oh yeah, so that is dangerous.
So that's what I'm dealing with right now with this thing.
Did you know I had a lightning strike where I used to live in I was up on the downs, up between Basingstoke and Four Marks.
Yeah.
And I was very high up, and I used to do quite well up there as well. And we had a lightning strike in the next field, which was run by my relation cousin.
Yeah, they only have to get close, Peter. They don't. They don't have to hit you. They only have to get close, and they'll do you damage.
It was a static.
We've got to get ready to close this down because
it was a static field that dropped it.
Right.
It was a field from the lightning bolt, and it probably was about 40 feet away, and it clobbered my prayer.
It would. Absolutely. Right, folks, here we go. I've got to close this down. So remember, this is the last coffee break for 2020. There won't be a new one until the next coffee break will be the 3rd of January 2021. So 2 weeks. We're taking a 2-week break, okay? So let me take the opportunity to say Merry Christmas to all of you, to both of you, and Happy New Year. Stay safe.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. I appreciate
that.
Thank
you, all of
you. And you too, Peter.
To everybody who's watching after the live broadcast or the live Zoom meeting, Merry Christmas to you as well. So,
yes.
Thank you all. I've had a fun year so far, and looking forward to many more. Maybe I'll get some more stuff done before the next one. We'll see
what
happens.
It will be better than this year was.
Oh, I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. All right, everybody. Have a great break. Enjoy your break, and we'll see you next year. Take care.
By the way, it's Christmas. Tell them about Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Bye.